Shall we open our Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 37, and we'll continue our study through Jeremiah. Now in chapter 37, we come to the third section of the book of Jeremiah. And chapters 37 through 39 cover the time of King Zedekiah, up until the fall and the final captivity of Jerusalem. Now verse 1 tells us that Nebuchadnezzar placed Zedekiah as king over Jerusalem and Judah. And this would have been as a result of the second deportation. Now that's the one when Ezekiel was taken away. Remember, Daniel was taken in the first deportation, Ezekiel in the second. And Ezekiel was the prophet that God gave to Judah that was in Babylon. We have Jeremiah in Jerusalem and we have Ezekiel in Babylon. And they're both communicating God's word to the people. So let's pick it up in verse 1. Now King Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, reigned instead of Coniah. Remember, Coniah, he just reigned for 3 months. The son of Jehoiakim, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made king in the land of Judah. Now remember that God said that Jehoiakim, in the last chapter, Jehoiakim would have none of his children to sit on the throne. Well, here Nebuchadnezzar, he comes and attacks. He removes Jehoiakim's son, Coniah, which is another name for Jehoiakim. He removes him from the throne, fulfills his prophecy, and then he places Zedekiah on the throne. He took over the town, says, I'm going to place someone else on the throne here, and he's going to run the area for me, and I'll get my taxes from these guys through Zedekiah. Verse 2, but neither he, meaning Zedekiah, nor his servants, nor the people of the land, gave heed to the words of the Lord, which he spoke by the prophet Jeremiah. Remember, Jeremiah said, repent and live in the land, otherwise submit to Nebuchadnezzar and live. If you stay in Jerusalem and don't repent, you'll die. And the tools you're going to die by are pestilence, famine, and the sword. Verse 3, and Zedekiah the king sent Jehukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Zephaniah, the son of Maaseiah, the priest, to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, pray now to the Lord, our God, for us. Now Jeremiah was coming and going among the people, for they had not yet put him in prison. Then Pharaoh's army came up from Egypt, and when the Chaldeans who were besieging Jerusalem heard the news of them, they departed from Jerusalem. So here, Nebuchadnezzar, he's the king and the general of the Chaldeans. He conquers Jerusalem for the second time, places Zedekiah in place, and then he hears that Egypt is coming. And so he splits. And Zedekiah is encouraged by the coming of Egypt, thinking, hey, we have an alliance with these guys, and Egypt's going to protect us from King Nebuchadnezzar. So Zedekiah is choosing sides. In verse 6, then the word of the Lord came to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, thus you shall say to the king of Judah, we're talking about Zedekiah here, who sent you to me to inquire of me, behold, Pharaoh's army, which has come up to help you, will return to Egypt to their own land. And the Chaldeans shall come back and fight against this city and take it and burn it with fire. Thus says the Lord, do not deceive yourselves, saying the Chaldeans will surely depart from us, for they will not depart. For though you had defeated the whole army of the Chaldeans who fight against you, and there remained only wounded men among them, they would rise up, every man in his tent, and burn this city with fire. He's saying, King Zedekiah, Nebuchadnezzar wasn't scared off by the Egyptians. And, you know, don't think they're not coming back. The bad guys are coming back. Hey, buddy, look at the prophecy. It's certain. It's so certain that even if you fought against the Chaldeans and there were only wounded men left, they would rise up and beat you and win. Verse 11, and it happened when the army of the Chaldeans left the siege of Jerusalem for fear of Pharaoh's army, that Jeremiah went out of Jerusalem to go into the land of Benjamin to claim his property there among the people. Now, remember King Zedekiah, he's attacking, and he conquered the towns all around Jerusalem. And so Jeremiah's going to his hometown, which was just a little bit north of Jerusalem, And he's going, and that's where he grew up, and he owns property there. He's going up there to his property. But the people there, they were under King Nebuchadnezzar. Now Nebuchadnezzar's gone. And here comes Jeremiah, this guy who's been saying, go ahead and send her to, go ahead and surrender to Nebuchadnezzar, because you're going to be conquered anyhow. If you surrender, you'll go to Babylon and you'll live. And so Jeremiah sounds like a traitor to these people that are fighting against him. So he goes to his hometown where he owns property. And in verse 13, and when he was in the gate of Benjamin, a captain of the guard was there whose name was Urijah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Hananiah. And he sees Jeremiah the prophet saying, you are defecting to the Chaldeans, saying you're a traitor and you're going over to the to King Nebuchadnezzar's side. So poor Jeremiah, he's just communicating God's word. But these people aren't listening, and they think he's a traitor. They're misunderstanding God's word. And so Jeremiah responds in verse 14. Then Jeremiah said, false! I am not defecting to the Chaldeans. But he did not listen to him, so Urijah seized Jeremiah and brought him to the princes. Remember, when we say princes, we're talking about like the king's cabinet, the high officials. Therefore the princes were angry with Jeremiah, and they struck him and put him in prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe, for they had made that the prison. When Jeremiah entered the dungeon and the cells, and Jeremiah had remained there many days, then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out. The king asked him secretly in his house and said, is there any word from the Lord? Zedekiah's asking Jeremiah now. He's seeking him out and asking, is there any word from the Lord? What's with this guy? And Jeremiah said, there is. Then he said, you shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. Man, that's not the word King Zedekiah wants to hear. Is there a word? Yeah, buddy, you're going to be captured and delivered into the king of Babylon. You know, it's just Jeremiah, he's in prison. He could have said something false and gotten out, but he is just straight. He tells them exactly what God is telling him. And then verse 18, moreover, Jeremiah said to King Zedekiah, what offense have I committed against you, against your servants, or against this people, that you have put me in prison? Where now are your prophets who prophesied to you, saying, the king of Babylon will not come against you or against this land? Therefore, please hear now, O my lord the king, please let my petition be accepted before you, and do not make me return to the house of Jonathan the scribe, lest I die there. So he's saying, what did I do to deserve being put in prison? I just told the truth. And you know, you had the false prophets that told you lies, and King Nebuchadnezzar came. They said he wouldn't come. I said he would come, and sure enough, he came. So why are you putting me in prison for telling you the truth? I love verse 19 where he says, where now are your prophets? And then he has a plea to be released from prison. You have no reason to put me in prison. I've told you the truth. Why are you putting me there? It's bad. I'm going to die if you leave me there. Please release me. Verse 21. Then Zedekiah the king commanded that they should commit Jeremiah to the court of the prison, and that they should give him a daily piece of bread from the baker's street until all the bread in the city was gone. Thus Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. So he improved his conditions, and he gave him a ration of food so that he wouldn't die. So Jeremiah's position was improved. Awesome. But unfortunately, it gets worse for Jeremiah. Let's pick it up in chapter 38, verse 1. Now Shephatiah, the son of Matan, Gedaliah, the son of Pashur, Jukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Pashur, the son of Malchiah, heard the words that Jeremiah had spoken to all the people, saying, thus says the Lord, he who remains in this city shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. But he who goes over to the Chaldeans shall live. His life shall be as a prize to him, and he shall live. Thus says the Lord, this city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it. So this is the message we've been seeing year after year. It's not a great message to hear if you're a commander and you're trying to muster courage in your soldiers. And so, verse 4, therefore the princes said to the king, please let this man be put to death, for thus he weakens the hands of the men of war who remain in this city, and the hands of all the people by speaking such words to them. For this man does not seek the welfare of this people, but their harm. And of course, that's not true. He's just telling them the truth. God has told them what's going to happen, and so they're better off if they surrender to Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 5, then Zedekiah the king said, look, he is in your hand, for the king can do nothing against you. Oh, man. Oh, I'm helpless. Do with him as you please. That's what he's saying. He's responding politically. What a wimp. Verse 6, so they took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the king's son, which was in the court of the prison, and they let Jeremiah down with ropes, and in the dungeon there was no water but mire. Now, mire is like muck or mud or swamp. It's just ick. So Jeremiah sank in the mire. Poor guy. It's gone from bad to worse. And look at this king. He's more afraid of what man thinks than what of God thinks. Man, bad situation. Verse 7. Now Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs who was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon when the king was sitting at the gate of Benjamin. Ebed-Melech went out of the king's house and spoke to the king, saying, my lord the king, those men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon, and he is likely to die from hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city. Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, take from here 30 men with you and lift the prophet out of the dungeon before he dies. So Ebed-Melech took the men with him and went into the house of the king under the treasury and took from their old clothes and old rags and let them down by ropes into the dungeon to Jeremiah. Then Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian said to Jeremiah, please put these old clothes and rags under your armpits, under the ropes, and Jeremiah did so. So they pulled Jeremiah up with ropes and lifted him out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Now, they apparently had ropes, and they had to use these clothes and rags and towels. And here's the deal. Jeremiah's old by now, and as he's in the muck, he's sinking deeper and deeper. And so it's probably difficult to pull him out of that. And if they just tie ropes around him, if they tie it to his hands, it could dislocate his shoulders. If they just put the rope around, it could really hurt him. So they put these soft clothes around him under his armpits, and they probably had to pull and gently make progress and just slowly pull him out of the muck. Verse 14, then Zedekiah the king sent and had Jeremiah the prophet brought to him at the third entrance of the house of the Lord. And the king said to Jeremiah, I will ask you something. Hide nothing from me. Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, if I declare it to you, will you not surely put me to death? And if I give you advice, you will not listen to me. Jeremiah's right. King's not going to listen to him. Why does the king want him to tell him anything? He's either going to just kill him or certainly not listen. Verse 16, so Zedekiah the king swore secretly to Jeremiah, saying, as the Lord lives, who made our very souls, I will not put you to death, nor will I give you into the hand of these men who seek your life. You know, at verse 16, it seems to me like, let's make a deal. Zedekiah is trying to butter up Jeremiah, and I think he's seeking a good word from the Lord, because everything Jeremiah says comes true, and it's driving Zedekiah nuts. Verse 17. Then Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if you surely surrender to the king of Babylon's princes, then your soul shall live. This city shall not be burned with fire, and you and your house shall live. So see, he's got to sacrifice by surrendering to King Nebuchadnezzar, and he'll save his life. But if he tries to hang on to his house and his kingdom there in Jerusalem, he's going to die. And not only is he going to die, but all the people are going to suffer because the entire city is going to be burned with fire. Verse 18, but if you do not surrender to the king of Babylon's princes, then this city shall be given into the hand of the Chaldeans. They shall burn it with fire, and you shall not escape from their hand. So, Zedekiah, you've already heard the word from me. You're going to be taken. Now you can surrender, you and your family will live, and Jerusalem will survive, or you cannot surrender, you and your family die, and Jerusalem will be burned. Verse 19, and Zedekiah the king said to Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Jews who have defected to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand, and they abuse me. So here we have King Zedekiah trying to manage his world. And boy, is that not a typical problem. We try to manage our world, and the other choice is to let God manage our world and to just simply obey Him. God communicates clearly to us, but we want to manage our world instead. And Zedekiah here is saying, man, here's an excuse. I can't really listen to the Lord because all of those Jews that were captured, they're going to go after me. Well, God is communicating. Your soul's going to live. You're going to be all right. Zedekiah's given a lame excuse. And the reality is, he's not believing God's word that he will live if he surrenders. So verse 20, Jeremiah's going to answer him. But Jeremiah said, they shall not deliver you. Please obey the voice of the Lord which I speak to you. So it shall be well with you, and your soul shall live. But if you refuse to surrender, this is the word that the Lord has shown me. Now behold, all the women who are left in the king of Judah's house shall be surrendered to the king of Babylon's princes. And those women shall say, your close friends have set upon you and prevailed against you. Your feet have sunk in the mire, and they have turned away again. So Jeremiah is pleading with King Zedekiah, saying, please obey the voice of the Lord that you can live, you and your family. Verse 23, so they shall surrender all your wives and children to the Chaldeans. You shall not escape from their hand, but shall be taken by the hand of the king of Babylon, and you shall cause this city to be burned with fire. He's spelling it out really clear. Your family's going to suffer, Jerusalem's going to suffer, and it's all in your hands, Zedekiah, if you will just obey the Lord. Then Zedekiah said to Jeremiah, in verse 24, let no one know of these words, and you shall not die. But if the princes hear that I have talked with you, and they come to you and say to you, declare to us now what you have said to the king, and also what the king said to you, do not hide it from us, and we will not put you to death. Then you shall say to them, I presented my requests before the king, that he would not make me return to Jonathan's house to die there. Verse 27, then all the princes came to Jeremiah and asked him, and he told them according to all these words that the king had commanded. So they stopped speaking with him, for the conversation had not been heard. Now Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison until the day that Jerusalem was taken, and he was there when Jerusalem was taken. So Jeremiah tells the truth, but he doesn't tell all the truth to the princes. Now, I've got some observations. One is that God gave multiple opportunities to King Zedekiah and his political cabinet for repentance and salvation, but they refused to listen to the voice of God. In the same way, God gives us multiple opportunities for repentance, salvation, and reconciliation to Himself. But you know what? One day, those opportunities are going to stop. We could die today, and our opportunities have stopped. At Jesus' second coming, which will happen, just as sure as King Nebuchadnezzar took Jerusalem, all those opportunities for mankind stop. And it's our responsibility to respond to God's word while it's available. Otherwise, we'll have to give account as to why we refused God and we refused His free gift of salvation, which comes through His Son, Jesus Christ. We are responsible for how we respond to God's Word. God has sent us the truth. It's clearly here in the Bible. And fortunately, it's really redundant. We keep seeing the same message again and again. Just like going through the book of Jeremiah, there's the same message again and again. God gives us that same message again and again that we are sinners and we need a Savior, but God has provided us a Savior, and it's Jesus Christ. And if we will receive Him and His free gift, then God will take care of our sin and we'll get to be with God forever. Now here's a few verses that I want to read pertaining to that. You guys all have heard John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." But we often skip John 3:17. And this explains a lot of it. "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him," through God's Son, "might be saved." Now the first time Jesus came, He's the saving Messiah. The second time He comes, He's the judging Messiah. And then John 3:18, "He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Here's the deal. God sent His Word and He sent His Son. And if we reject those, His Son and His Word, just like King Zedekiah did, well, we're being judged because of our rejection. Here's the solution. Here's your salvation, but you're rejecting it. There's no other way for man to be saved. Galatians 3:27, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." When we receive Christ, we put Him on. When God looks at us, He sees Jesus' righteousness. And He says, "Come on into heaven." We have done no works to earn getting to go into heaven. All we have done is received God's free gift, and He accepts us into heaven. So there's God's Word. And I just implore you, please, to have ears that listen and respond to God's gracious gift. We're going to stop there, and we'll pick it up in chapter 39 next time.